Aye, I flick a day now. It's me, Alan Smith, with wee Puckley Stories out of today's Prison Journal on Tuesday, February 27th. So front page paper today is a real horrible story. Mom and Doc, after Tot died with drugs in his bloodstream. So this is a North East mother has gone on trial, accused of causing the death of her 13-week-old son after drugs were found in his system and baby formula. The wifey, for 32, is charged with exposing little Ollie James to the illegal drugs, methadrone and MDMA, which resulted in him ingesting them. Ollie James died in Aberdeen Royal Infirmary 3 days before Christmas 2019 after being rushed there by air ambulance for his son Haven near Fraserburgh. The wifey's former pal will tell the jury at the High Court in Aberdeen that Ollie James seemed plastic when the Tots Feather discovered his child was very sick. He said, "I've never seen a baby look like that in my life." She told Advocate Deputy Erin Campbell that she called 999 and then instructed the baby's dad on how to give his son. They instructed the baby's dad on how to give his son CPR. The mum was also charged with dealing as drugs, and being in possession of cocaine. The other wifey told the court that the accused had been selling drugs for a few years and had instructed her to lie to Bobby's following Ollie James' death. The wifey is also accused of willfully neglecting two other kids who were found with drugs in their bloodstream, including the same thing at MCAT and cocaine. Flipping heck. Just unbelievable. You know, words kind of fail me, to be honest with you. Now, here's folk asking you to share your airport tales for the 90th anniversary. So, if you've ever flown to or from Aberdeen International Airport, use the international term very loosely, I would say, or if you've worked there once upon a time, then bosses there would love to hear from you. Passengers and former colleagues are being urged to share their memories as part of the airport's 90th year celebrations. The Dice Transport Hub, now owned by AGS Airports, was founded by Eric Gander Dower and opened by Lord Arbuthnot in July 1934. Several celebrations are planned with a special logo commissioned for use through the year. Fittingly for the North East, the 90th anniversary is also known as a granite anniversary. Well, I didn't get that, no. Contributing more than £110 million a year to the local economy, the airport claims to support 3,400 jobs across the North East. In 2014, the airport saw a record high 3.7 million passengers going through its doors. However, with the oil downturn and COVID, it has since fallen to just 1.9 million. At the present time, Aberdeen International Airport has flights to 30 scheduled destinations across the UK and Europe, including London, Amsterdam and Copenhagen. But it's lost some of its international routes in recent years, including to Paris during the pandemic and to Frankfurt in 2018. Last month, the airport caused controversy by increasing the price to drop off passengers outside its terminal. Introduced at £1 for 10 minutes in 2015, the price now stands at £5.50 for 15 minutes. Scandalous, that is. Just scandalous. Aberdeen International Airport Operations Director Mark Beveridge said, "We can the city and airport have both changed much in the last 90 years. As the current custodians of the airport, it feels right to be looked to reflect and celebrate the impact the airport has had. It's also very fitting that the airport in the Granite City is celebrating its Granite anniversary. We want as many former colleagues to get in touch and for passengers to share their stories throughout the years. This will help us as we look to plan some celebration events. Anybody wishing to get in touch and share their stories is asked to email community@airport.com. Oh, no, community@airport.com. So that must be Aberdeen International community@airport.com. but I get it right in case nobody's emailing in there, emailing some old wifey up in the Highlands or something. But yeah, so I'm sure if you're an Aberdonian and you're biding a while abroad now, you maybe have some stories to tell about Aberdeen Airport and you know how great it feels to come back. Unless you're coming back for your holidays, of course, and it's lashing rain, as often is the case. Now here's a drink driving nurse that has blamed COVID for not tasting booze stash. So, well, here's a likely story now. A Mearns nurse caught trying to drive home while intoxicated after a night shift. God help if folks is looking after. Well, anyway, she blamed COVID and an alcohol-laced Fitbit bus stash for her crime. Nicola Kerr said she had lost her sense of taste due to coronavirus, which led to an inability to detect that there was alcohol and soft drinks she obtained for the Fitbit supporters' snacks. She refused to provide the bobies with a breath sample after they found her smelling of alcohol, slurring her speech, and in the driver's seat of her private plated Kia Ceed with empty alcohol containers beside her. Well, I'm thinking it isn't like Sherlock Holmes, but two and two together here now. Her solicitor told the court that the containers, including a gin can in the centre console and a wine bottle in the driver's door, jeez, Pangora, were there because her son had emptied out a bag of recycling so he could use it for his Fitbit kit. God almighty, I mean, you know, there's stories and there's stories. This is like far beyond anything like a dog ate my homework kind of stuff. Anyway, at Forfar Sheriff Court, the 41-year-old first offender was banned for driving and fined. She has been suspended for work. Fiscal Deputy Stephanie Hendry said care and agency nurse with staff scanner at Benholm Care Home in Forfar was working a night shift for 7:45 on December the 11th, 2023, until 8 o'clock in the morning. Oh my God almighty. About 15 minutes before she finished, day shift staff arrived and were told by her colleagues they believe she was under the influence of alcohol. Seeing that she was unsteady on her feet, they feared she planned to drive home and alerted the bobbies. Ms. Henry said at 8:20 in the morning, the bobbies arrived at the locus and traced the accused in the driver's seat with the engine on. They observed her to be alone and attempting to drink from a container and lighten a fag. At this time, a wine bottle could be observed in the centre console. Bobby's knocked on the window to gain attention. After multiple knocks, she opened the driver's door, but she appeared to be confused. We call them winners in her right bucket. Bobby smelt alcohol and her speech was slurred. She was required to provide a breath specimen, but after three failed attempts, Bobby's considered none of her efforts to be genuine. She was arrested. Bobby's noticed a gin can in the centre console and a wine bottle on the driver's door. God almighty. Crikey. Anyway, she was fined £400 plus a £20 victim surcharge, and she was banned from driving for a year, which, in the light of things, I think is should have no bad, I would say. But, anyway, like I say, I wouldn't like to be the peer all creator she was looking after. You up doing the healing flying out of your wheelchair. Now here's a man if I breached with a bail for a once-in-a-lifetime gig by rap star in Rome. So a man has been sentenced to unpaid work for breaching his bail order curfew to go and see a rap star perform in Rome. Elliot Small was ordered to stay at his home address between the hours of 6 o'clock at night and 6 o'clock in the morning as part of a bail condition imposed by Aberdeen Sheriff Court. But the 22-year-old defied the courts by jetting off to Italy to see his favourite rapper, Travis Scott. Small pled guilty to breaching the curfew condition on various occasions between June the 15th and August the 8th last year, so he didn't pay attention to name them. Doing his best to explain his client's actions, defence agent George Mathers told the court that it had been rap artist Scott's first gig in 5 years. He said this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and he couldn't resist the temptation to gang. However, Sheriff Rona Wark dealt Small, up until now, you have shown utter disregard for the court. She ordered Small of a Clashmach View in Huntly to be supervised for a year and to complete 80 hours of unpaid work. Sheriff Wark added, if you breach this, there will be no alternative to imprisonment. So, well, I mean, if it was to see someone their music, but I probably, you know, by main admission, I didn't get rap of that, but I'd been to see something decent, maybe I could understand it, but no, he definitely needs his get his fingers wrapped for us now. Sorry. Now here's a movie buff. It wins the Granite Noir Short Story Contest. So if an Emma McCruvey started writing 5 years ago, she only wanted to use it to help process her thoughts. However, after exploring fiction writing a couple of months ago, she decided to give Granite Noir's newest writing competition a go, and the results have left her speechless. At the reception at the Music Hall, Miss McCruvey was absolutely shocked when she heard her name announced as the competition winner out of more than 100 entries. And she says, "Then I think I can put it into words," the school support assistant added. "It's the first time anything like that has happened to me. While art and English were her favourite subjects during her time at Bunkley Academy, she was more drawn to the outdoors as a kid. For her family's farm in Countess Wells to SRUC to study wildlife and conservation management, connecting with nature has always been a big passion and comfort, particularly when her father and best friend, John McCruvey, died after a long battle with cancer when she was 23. And wrestling with her grief, Miss McCruvey turned to writing. She said, "I've gone through a lot of trauma in my life, losing folk close to me, my dad especially 8 years ago, and I found it a way to release feelings and talk those things and claim back what has happened to me and see the light side of it." After a few years of writing, doing her thoughts, she began to explore fiction writing, and when the competition was announced, she entered a short story called Fenna, a thrilling tale set in an empty house centred around a grief-stricken character. A bit of a movie buff, she admitted the story was partly inspired by her love of films and psychological horror. She says it comes from personal experience with grief, but also mixed with the genre of writing and films that I like. When asked for this next, she admitted she's already started working on a second story, so thank you. Really confident. Winning the competition, combined with being offered a new dream role as a countryside ranger with Aberdeen City Council in the same week, has left her feeling more confident. She said, "It's given me that boost that there are better things on the horizon." So, well done to her. That's, a tremendous thing to just, have your writings over the years, and you can get them put together and made them into a book, and to win a competition like that, the Granite Noir. Very, very good. And, so we was into the theatre on Saturday to see 12 Angry Men, the play. That was all part of the Granite Noir thing. And that's what's getting quite a... thing that's Granite Noir, with a lot of things on Aberdeen for us, so that's the kind of things that they need to get better at and attract more folk up to Aberdeen. But yes, very good and well done to her. And she's starting a new job being a countryside ranger now, then she'll have plenty of time for thinking about new horror stories. So good on her. No, just to finish up with sport as normal, and well, for the fit buff for a change, there's a bit in the back page, it's kind of split half and half. I mean, there's a bit about Andy Murray saying he's suggesting it's almost game set in March time, so Murray in the last few months of career. So he has hinted he was heading into the last couple of months of his tennis career after battling for a set down to beat Denis Shapovalov in Dubai yesterday to secure his second win at 2024. The three-time Grand Slam champion has been forced to fend off retirement talk following a string of first-round defeats and looks set for another early exit from Shapovalov. A former top-10 player took the opening set. Murray had struggled to breach the serve of the 24-year-old Canadian opponent, but produced a trademark gutsy display to edge a second-set tiebreaker before keeping his composure to break twice in a decider and secure a 4-6, 7-6, 6-3 win after 2 hours 33 minutes. So, well, good on him. And, I think he's went to one more go at Wimbledon maybe, and maybe cut quits. I mean, he's good through a hell of a lot of eyes between his hip and all the other aches and pains he's got. But, he's, be sad when he does pack it in, but, he'll be good to find jobs as a commentator or something. Easy money, I would think. Very sad to see him go. He's obviously give us heaps and heaps of Scottish folk, heaps of pleasure over the years, especially with why he anybody with England comments and all that kind of stuff. It's right up Miss Folk Street. But good lad, and he's get through the pain barrier heaps and heaps of times, and he hasn't had it easy lately, but good to see he's winning a few games again, and hopefully he'll sign off with a good flourish in 2024 if this is going to be the last gillar dem så. Come on, Andy Murray. No, no, that's me done for the day. Now it's the wee Puckley Studios with today's Press and Journal on Tuesday, 27th February 2024. And another bad day. It was about nippy in the morning. Cool kind of wind, but you know, mid-morning and dinner time and afternoon it cleared up and it was quite fine and sunny, a bit of heat in the sun actually, so certainly no complaints with that. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please make sure and tell some folk about it, and mind tell them they can listen, follow us on Spotify and they'll never miss an episode ever again, which would be just put their minds at rest, I'm sure. If we can manage that, it would just be dandy. In the meantime, thanks very much. Cheers now. Toodaloo.